Greetings in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of grace, that Spirit of truth, that Spirit of comfort who leads and guides us, we who are in Christ, as we journey from earth unto heaven. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for another day, another opportunity to share your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit speak through me, that the people may hear your truth and your wisdom, that we all may know how to love you and worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we all may know how to love one another better and live our lives better according to your word, your will, and your way. And I pray that your greatest blessings be upon us all, including the listeners to this broadcast. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It is in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen. Welcome to each of you to this morning's Sunday School lesson broadcast for January the 10th, 2016. This lesson is brought to you by the Baptist Ministers Fellowship, Texarkana, USA, where the Reverend Charles Smith is the president. And I am the Reverend Chastity D. Boyd, a member of the Baptist Ministers Fellowship. We presently meet each Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Greater New Hope Baptist Church, 1101 Phoenix Street, Texarkana, Texas, where the Reverend Mayfield Brewster is the pastor. We invite ministers to meet with us each Tuesday at 7 p.m. And on the fourth Tuesday of each month, we have public worship services also at 7 p.m., where everyone is indeed invited. Our lesson subject for today is entitled, The Value of a Godly Romance. The Value of a Godly Romance. Our devotional reading comes to us from John the 10th, chapter verses 7 through 15. The background scripture from John the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11, and the entire book of the Song of Solomon as well. The printed text is from Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 4 through 12. Our key verses comes to us from that same chapter, verse 9 of chapter 6, and it reads as follows. My dove, my undefiled is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Again, our lesson topic is the value of a godly romance. By way of introduction, let me say that our lesson today continues the winter quarters look at the important matters of romance and marriage. Our lesson looks at the love a man has for a woman and the family that God intends to be born out of that love. The Song of Solomon is said to have been written by King Solomon, the son of King David. It celebrates love. Some interpret it as a celebration and expression of God's love for Israel, others as Christ's love for the church, others as Solomon's love for a woman, and yet we can take a combination of those. The presence of the Song of Solomon in the Bible tells us that romance is God-given and something that God sees as important. Accordingly, he expects us to see it as important. For romance is about love between a man and a woman, a male and a female. The Song of Solomon mirrors to a certain degree God's love for us. The church, the body of Christ, of which we who are in Christ are members, is Jesus' bride. Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us, the church, the body of Christ. Now, since the January series of lessons mainly focus on romance and marriage, we will first and primarily look at the Song of Solomon as being about romantic love between a man and a woman. Our goal is to emphasize the value of romancing a mate in a godly manner. However, we will conclude with some words about love between God and man and love between humans in a non-romantic sense. Song of Solomon is a book that a godly couple with a romantic imagination could find useful when the lights are turned down low. Yes, our God provides a word for us in all areas of life, including romance. From the multitude of rich symbolisms in the text, one can make a variety of universal, righteous observations concerning love, concerning romance, concerning marriage, concerning sex, and concerning reproduction, as well as a number of other matters. Now, our text comes from chapter 6 of the Song of Solomon, is verses 4 through 12. I will read all of these verses up front. As I read them, be mindful that the word terrible in these verses has the sense of awesomeness or powerful or being majestic. And these verses read as follows. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof everyone bare twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of a pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 60 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is a choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Ummah did. Now, last week, we looked at Jacob's quest to find a wife. He met Rachel and came to love her. Rachel was a virtuous woman with a great physical beauty. Of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. As the saying goes, one man's junk is another man's treasure. So we should be careful about who we abuse and who we discard. In last week's lesson, Jacob had to wait on Laban to release his daughter Rachel to him as his wife. Once Laban released her, she went into Jacob's chamber as his wife. Solomon, as king, could simply summon a woman into his chambers and have her as his wife. He did not have to go through her father, as Jacob did. Is not that what David did regarding Bathsheba, as she submitted to him because of his kingly power and charm? Of course, David had no godly authority to romance and take Bathsheba as his wife, since Bathsheba was already Uriah's wife. But David committed adultery by using his kingly power and charm to take Bathsheba as his woman. However, in our lesson today, that is not the case, as there is no indication that this woman that Solomon loved belonged to another man. Chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon provides some insight into the context of the conversation that we find in chapter 6. In chapter 1, verse 4, the woman says, "The king has brought me into his chambers." Even if she did not enter the chamber as his wife, before she left the chamber, she certainly would be his wife. Indeed, in chapter 4 and 5 of Song of Solomon, Solomon refers to the woman as his spouse. So in chapter 6, which is our lesson text, she is definitely his wife. And the scriptures should be read within the context of husband and wife. In our lesson, Solomon expresses his love for a woman. Just as Rachel did to Jacob in last week's lesson, this woman captures Solomon's eye and captures his heart. To him, she has both inner beauty and outer beauty. Love and adoration are elements of beauty that flows from the inside. These are important in initiating, in building, and in sustaining a healthy marriage. Romance ignites the fire. Romance helps to keep the fire burning. Yes, it shall always be true that the same thing it took to get one spouse is going to take that and more to have and sustain a healthy marriage. Solomon recognizes the value of romance, the value of passion, and the value of compliments. He sees her splendor and attractiveness as pleasant and acceptable as two beautiful cities of Israel. She seduces and captivates him with her eyes. Through the wonder of her eyes, she could see great virtue and beauty. Her eyes were like a magnet that drew her deeper into his heart and urged him to move closer to her. He's spellbound. He's losing his composure. He's losing control. So he says to her, "Hold it now." He needs a breather. She's smiling. Her teeth grabs his attention. The health of her teeth suggests the health of the rest of the body. So he thinks about the fertility and fruitfulness in bearing multiple children for him. Solomon notes that she is a beauty among many other women. Her mother adores her. She is such a stunner. The other women pause and recognize her beauty. In humility and submissiveness, they are not jealous of her. They bless and praise her. He tells her she stands above them all. There is none more beautiful than her to him. She is a virtuous woman, a treasure whose price is far above rubies, as Proverbs 31:10 speaks about. She has kept herself. She has not been defiled by running around and being loose with her body. She is an innocent, pure, peaceful, and tender dove. In the Bible, the dove has important symbolism. In Genesis 8, Noah implores the dove after the flood in order to determine when the water had abated enough to leave the ark. In Matthew 3:16, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove. Yes, the presence of a good, virtuous, kept woman helps, inspires, and empowers a man to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. It is not about what she was or has done, but it is about what she is now sincerely committed to being and doing in Christ Jesus. And so we've emphasized the romantic aspects of Song of Solomon in the hope that men and women listening will gain some insights into romancing their mate in a godly rather than an ungodly, godly way, knowing that God considers romance important, and he does provide us with some examples of what we should say and what we should do. Now let us look in love between God and man briefly, and love between humans in a non-spiritual sense. The Song of Solomon reminds us of God's beauty and God's love for us. Not only does God see us, but he separates us from the world and secures us for all eternity. Yes, we are in the world, but not of the world. He has chosen us. He clothes us with his beautiful love. He cares for us and takes care of us. No matter what comes in our lives, God is faithful to us. He asks that we be faithful to him in return. God secures us by sealing us with the Holy Spirit. For Ephesians 1:12-13 says that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Is not that what a faithful husband and faithful wife expect of one another? Should they not give each other ample attention? Should they not provide each other with the security of a wholesome family? Should they not seal each other with carried out promises? God is patient and forgiving. Should we not be patient and forgiving to those we love? John 3:16 reminds us that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us. Because of Jesus, when God looks at his children, he sees beauty because he sees Jesus in us. We love him because he first loved us. God saw our potential in Christ Jesus even before we bore the fruit of faith and acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. For the scripture says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Should we not see the potential in others despite their perfections? Should we not live the rest of our lives, yes, with an awareness of 1, God's love for us, 2, God's expectation that we love him with all our mind, all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. In other words, all that we are and all that we hope to be. And thirdly, God's expectation that we love others. And finally, fourthly, should we not live the rest of our lives with an awareness of those who love us? Should we not be eager and excited about being in the presence of the Lord and those we love and who love us? Should we not run to the Lord who loves us and to those who love us as the chariots in the words of Solomon? And now let us end with some few pearls of wisdom, lesson application. Romance and marriage is about giving of oneself to another. Similarly, to the man, Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And to the woman, Ephesians 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Of course, they are to love each other. And there is to be a mutual submission unto each other, per Ephesians 5 and 21. Yet this love is to be done in mutual submission with each other. Yet this love and submission is to be according to the word, will, and way of God. It is not to be according to the word, will, and way of the world, especially when the world conflicts with God in an outright and clear manner. My brothers and sisters, as I begin to close, I just want to mention, we have a little time left, want to mention that I talked about the word terrible earlier in the lesson. One of the things as we study our Sunday school from week to week or study the Bible, we ought to be careful to pay attention to the meanings of words. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In verse 4, Solomon says, her beauty is as terrible as an army with banners. The word terrible here in the King James Version is an interesting word. At first sight, one might think that was not a very nice thing to say about her. Who in their right mind would say to a woman today that she is terrible as something? I've discovered that back in the day that the King James Version was written, the word terrible had a broader meaning than most people commonly think of today. It means powerful or majestic. Now that makes sense, for as the song says, our God is an awesome God. It is important that as we study, we rightly divide the word of truth. We ought to understand that words have what I call many flavors of meanings. That is why in the dictionary, you see a lot of different definitions for various words. we ought to understand that some of these flavors or meanings are not commonly used today. It is the pastor and the other preacher's task to explain these differences in meanings of words. Again, we thank you for listening to our broadcast for today. And this has been the Reverend Chasse D. Board of the Baptist Ministers Fellowship. And we presently meet each Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Greater New Hope Baptist Church, 1101 Phoenix Street, Texarkana, Texas. And we invite ministers to meet with us each Tuesday. Again, on the fourth Tuesday, we have public worship services at 7 p.m. where all of you out there is invited. And we hope that you can find your way to the church of your choice today. It was always good to go into the house of the Lord on a regular basis, to fellowship with fellow Christians, not only to receive, but also to give what you have to offer the Lord and to others. God bless you and have a wonderful day.